Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. In 2012, the voters of El Paso approved a multi-purpose performing arts and entertainment facility financed through general obligation bonds. The vote was 70% for, 30 against. Because a few citizens were opposed, the city brought a 1205 proceeding in Travis County to validate bond expenditures for that project. But rather than validate the project, the trial court's declarations contradict both the underlying ordinance and Chapter 1205. The court substantially refuted the El Paso vote and seized the control from the city about the discretion that it has to make expenditures. And it portends frequent intervention from an Austin court into arts and entertainment 600 miles away from the venue. It asserts power over the city's expenditure of funds that has nothing to do with the bonds that we're talking about today. The trial court's judgment has altered the ordinance and ballot language to say, essentially, that the voters redundantly approved a facility for multi-purpose performing arts, but also for other performing arts, rather than look at the actual language, multi-purpose performing arts and entertainment facility. The grammatical gymnastics at play are counter to decades of jurisprudence. The city is here this morning requesting that this court restore the vote, declare that the city of El Paso has the discretion to expend bond funds for the exceedingly broad categories of multi-purpose performing arts and entertainment, and agree that those terms permit sports. We ask that the court declare that the trial court has exceeded its authority in those respects and other respects. Now, I want to say that there will always be critics of big capital projects, but even assuming a few citizens of El Paso may resist the idea that sports is entertainment, or believe that sports should have been specifically stated in the ordinance and the ballot, the law gives the city the discretion to make that call. This court and the Supreme Court and many others have observed that cities have and need in circumstances like this broad discretion about how to expend bond funds. Cities, rather than courts, are best positioned to tailor bond projects to the needs of their electorates. Once voters approve a broadly worded bond proposition, cities and not courts must decide how to spend the money. To restrict that discretion would require an express prohibition, such as within the ordinance, sports are not a form of entertainment that this ordinance and vote authorize. And of course, that did not occur here.
Beyond the wording of the ordinance and the ballot language itself, are there any other restrictions on the city's discretion in those regards?
Sure, the city can't expend funds that would eliminate the use for which the bond, the ordinance was written and the voters approved. But if it doesn't conflict, there are very few restrictions. Now, let's say the city, the ordinance says we're going to build a swimming pool, and then the vote is we're going to erect an airport. You know, I think those sorts of incompatibilities are the subjects of bond election contests about the ballot language and or about the ordinance, and say that there is a discrepancy between the two. And of course, we know here that there was no contest before or after the vote to invalidate what the voters did or the language of the bond. So it's not that a bond proceeding is immune from review, but the individual challenges to the ordinance and vote could have been brought to the city, for example, during the deliberations. And during that political debate, a citizen could say, please make sure that there's no basketball or hockey or wrestling or sports in general in this facility, exempted from the broad concept of entertainment. Of course, that didn't happen.
Of course, as I mentioned,
they could have pursued an election contest to claim the ballot was misleading.
Of course, the opponents suggest that there was evidence. I think a former city manager sort of played with the language of the ordinance to kind of put, I think, what was the term they used, the lightning rod of the word sports from not appearing there. It seems like a lot of their argument is founded on the preamble to the language. You're referring to the phrase multi-purpose performing arts and entertainment facility, and from that standpoint, multi-purpose and entertainment is read broadly. They suggest that the context of the preamble limits that to what precedes it, performing arts, cultural. I guess what you're saying is the phrase such projects to include the following is, it's not in the nature of enumerating examples of what precedes it. It's more like they're deeming what follows to be what's in the preamble. Is that what you're saying?
Your Honor, I think that's exactly right. Okay. And when you do look at that, what we're asking the court to look at is, what is the operative language that impacts what this facility is? And you seized on the words that I was going to mention and quote, such projects to include the following. And then under the category arts and entertainment, that's where you find multi-purpose performing arts and entertainment facility located in downtown El Paso. That's the word of the statute that is at issue.
And so multi-purpose and entertainment can broaden what otherwise might be the meaning one might derive from the preamble, performing arts.
I think it can, but performing arts is in the preamble. Mm-hmm. Cultural is in the mm-hmm. preamble. These are aspects of entertainment that even if you only looked at the preamble, would permit the kind of activities that we're asking this court to declare is appropriate here, and that is entertainment in the form of sports, arts in the form of sports.
So to borrow one of the hypotheticals, I think Ms. Hobbs, brief suggested, could they build a big tavern if one considers that entertainment?
Theoretically, yes. The answer is yes. I mean, or could it be a casino? Well, that's a form of entertainment. The reality is, and this is something we mentioned in our brief, mm-hmm. that's not going to happen in El Paso. The politics of that would destroy whoever votes in favor of that, and that is not what's occurring here. In fact, in the lead-up to the election, there were interviews of the deputy city manager. There were editorials that pinpointed this facility as having not just sports, commencement activities and concerts and all manner of entertainment, all kinds of sports and hockey and college and high school basketball tournaments. There was no deception on the voters, and there was no question about what this facility was going to embrace.
How do we treat those instances? Because it seems like throughout the record, both sides have tried to sprinkle in some of the background flavor. But at the end of the day, do we just look at the four corners of the ordinance and the bond language when we're evaluating whether what they're doing now fits within that?
I think that's all you have to look at. We talk about it because they talk about it. The sort of impression from their brief, at least as I understand it, is that the city was desiring to mislead the voters and lead them astray. I don't think you need to look at that at all. I think the question here is a question of law, and that is, how do you construe the phrase that we've been talking about, and how do you place that in the context of many opinions that say the city has discretion to expend the funds, especially when the terms at issue are broad? And we're not just talking, you know, it's not sport, it's multi-purpose performing arts and entertainment. Can that possibly include sports?
Such projects to include be considered ambiguous? Could there be more than one reasonable interpretation? In other words, the brief by your opposition suggests that the preamble cabins the subject to language, or and it makes entertainment and multi-purpose mean relating to the performing arts and cultural activities, whereas you're arguing that the what comes after the subject to language is actually broader and broadens it. Are each of those reasonable interpretations such that the ordinance is ambiguous?
I think not. So I have a couple answers to that question. One is that the specific would control over the general. In almost every, you look at Garner and Scalia, almost every way you interpret a statute, the specific controls over the general. The second, what is in context? You know, The preamble was 60 words or more before the operative language that we're talking about that specifically designates these projects to include multi-purpose performing arts and entertainment. So I don't think it is ambiguous. I think you can determine the issue as a matter of law based on that language. I think even if the court were to say that there is any lingering ambiguity in that, then you go to the plain language, and your job is going to be to construe what do these broad terms mean? What does entertainment mean? The language here does not say that the city can have commencement exercises, you know, graduations. The intent here was to be as broad as possible in order to have a successful facility, one that is going to be financially solvent over time. And that was the question here. So I think the bottom line comes down to what does the law say here? And the law bars an attempt to subvert the will of the majority by curtailing the discretion that the city has to expend the money. So what is a multi-purpose performing arts and entertainment center? I think a good example would be, and there's a footnote, footnote 20 in our main brief, or maybe the reply brief, I can't remember, about the Frank Irwin Center. The Frank Irwin Center that says it is a multi-purpose center that has entertainment and sports and all manner of things. I went back and looked at the history of the Frank Irwin Center last night. It was built in 1977. The first event there was UT basketball versus Oklahoma. The very second event was a Lawrence Welk concert. I mean, this is what we're talking about, multi-purpose performing arts. So you look at the plain language, and I just want to spend a few moments walking through the plain language. What does it mean? The ordinance calls for facility. The performing arts and entertainment, as used in the ordinance, is an adjective. It's an adjective that modifies facility. Entertainment includes sports, and Grossman and Morales, the challengers here, admit that it does so. Multi-purpose means having several purposes or functions. And because performing arts is descriptive, multi-purpose logically modifies the noun. The noun here is facility. So it's a multi-purpose facility that hosts entertainment. Thus, the ordinance contemplates a multi-purpose facility suitable for performing arts and entertainment, including a species of entertainment, namely sports. And that's where we think the court got it wrong, the trial court. If you look at the final judgment and the findings of fact, the court says you can have a facility, but it can't be designed or built using funds that are suitable for sports. And we think that is grammatically incorrect, and it ignores the Supreme Court's holdings in Lewis versus City of Fort Worth and in Barrington versus Coconuts and a number of Court of Appeals decisions that we cite in the brief. As an exhibit, they attach the findings of fact and conclusions of law, and they direct this court in the post, in the submission exhibits that I think are on the bench, to findings of fact 13 and 14. And there, the trial court talks about the RFQs that were issued by the city in 2016. And they say, the trial court says, well, it's a finding of fact that proposed project is a sports arena. And the proposed project seeks the design of a sports arena. My guess is they're going to say, well, you waived any argument about, you know, that factual finding. And I just want to make sure that the court is aware that there is nothing in the judgment about the RFQs. And it is not, the judgment is not based on any facts about the RFQ.
Aren't we ultimately fighting about whether, I mean, it's a materiality issue, isn't it? Whether or not the term sports arena has any significance.
Right.
Right. I mean, it kind of begs the question, does it fall within the ordinance or not?
Right. The only question, the only thing that the court decided in its judgment is, does it fall within the ordinance or does it not? Yeah. And I would say even in the request for the RFQs that are mentioned here, it was not just sports arena we're talking about, but as all the other things that I mentioned, tournaments and commencement addresses and lectures and concerts and all of that.
You may need to circle back to this when you get your rebuttal time, but I'm curious as to how we pivot from the Travis County Court needing to look at the bond validity issue and those other issues being El Paso issues to complaining about the Travis County Court not having enjoined the case going out there. To what extent and where do we draw the line on what's cognizable under 1205 versus other issues?
I will say that the El Paso case involves the expenditure of funds for the acquisition of contracts and for demolition of buildings. And 1205 specifically says that anything that could have been brought is going to be decided by this judgment. And that was a request that we made to the trial court to enjoin those proceedings. The court wouldn't hear argument on it and says, well, just because venue is appropriate there, I'm not going to address that.
That's not really under 06-1. It's more like enforcing the effect of the judgment, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it is enforcing the effect of anything that could have been brought in that proceeding. And I'll give you it's 1205.151C. which requires that a judgment under the chapter permanently enjoin, quote, any matter that could have been raised in the action. And that's a matter in the El Paso court that could have been raised in this action. There have been proceedings since that trial court occurred in El Paso that I can talk to you about on rebuttal.
Yeah.
Thanks,
sir.
Right.
Ms. Hobbs, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. Sports arenas are controversial. To use the city's own words, a lightning rod for taxpayers. So despite talking about for decades about building a sports and entertainment facility, on the advice of a national sports arena consultant, the city represented to the El Paso voters that the bond funds would be used for a performing arts facility, deliberately omitting from the ordinance any mention of sports. This was a deliberate strategy. The result? We're here this morning dancing on the edge of a pen about the parameters of municipal discretion.
Would that be a sport if we were to dance on the edge?
And what sorts of activities are entertainment versus performing arts? This distraction was by design, and it could have been easily avoided if the city had been forthright and sought approval for a sports and entertainment facility, or even a multi-purpose entertainment facility, or even an event center. All of those would have been broad terms that the city could have used to describe what they've been wanting to build in downtown El Paso since the early 2000s. And had they done so, we would not be here this morning. The trial court properly called the city's bluff.
As I'm saying, there was no challenge to the bond language leading up to the election, correct?
No, but the request for production that demonstrated what the city truly intended to build did not come out until 2016. Forgot how long we've been fighting this case. So at the time of the bond language, it's not like there would be any taxpayer to realize the bait and switch that the city was taking to build a sports arena instead of a performing arts facility. I do want to talk about the trial court's finding as a matter of fact that what the city intends to build is a sports arena. We didn't bring this lawsuit. The city brought this lawsuit under 1205 to say, here's what we're planning on building. Can you please preemptively approve this expenditure? Well, the whole trial, a two-day trial, was what do you intend to build? And so all the evidence that came in about what they intended to build, and the trial court heard that evidence and then found as a matter of fact that what the city intends to build is not a performing arts center, but is a sports arena. And that fact finding, it wasn't challenged up here. They dropped a footnote in the brief saying it's factually and legally insufficient, but they provided no briefing to explain why it wasn't supported by the evidence. In fact, it's completely supported by the evidence. That's what we spent 2 days talking about, is what do you intend to build? What do these RFQs mean? That was the entirety of the trial.
How do we treat some of those findings of fact that essentially seem to be the trial court just giving its interpretation of either the ordinance language or some definition that we may not be aware of? You know, for example, sports venue.
I was going to ask the same question. What exactly does that mean? I mean, for example, the Cedar Park Center is a sports arena in terms of hosting hockey games and everything else, but I've also been to commencements and concerts and, okay, so it's not just a sports arena. What does that finding even mean?
What this finding is that what the city intends to build is a sports arena. And if you look, it's supported by the RFQs that say it's going to sit 14,000 seats for basketball games. That was what the whole trial was about.
Does that exclude having some sort of a performing arts feature as well?
Does it exclude having a performing arts?
I'm not real sure what the application or relevance of the RFPs are.
Well, you touched on this question earlier about why are we looking at some evidence and not other evidence in here. We did object to extrinsic evidence that would change the plain meaning of the ordinance, because this ordinance is the contract with the voters, not what the voters understood or anything. So I think everybody agrees that this is the contract with the voters, this ordinance. But on the other hand, if you come in to a 1205 proceeding and say, Your Honor, we would like to spend this bond money to build this facility, then the question is, what is that facility, and does that facility comport with what the voters authorized you to build? If I can just walk you through the ordinance and how I view the plain language of the ordinance, require some tethering to performing arts. First of all, the title itself talks about a museum, cultural, performing arts, and library facilities. And why the title can't change the meaning of the ordinance, it is instructive of intent, as then Chief Justice Wallace Jefferson wrote in NUSAA case in 2010.
That's the same heading for the ballot, right?
Yes. And then you look at although it's the ordinance that controls, then you look about four lines down. I've highlighted it on tab A of my bench book, which is the white bench book. You see, it authorizes for this amount of money for these purposes, to wit, and then four lines down, library, museum, cultural, and performing arts facilities and improvements. And then we all agree that this language is important, such projects to include. And then if you look at the structure of this, it's contemplating a museum, a cultural, a performing arts, and a library facility. And then if you look down at what it's specifically authorizing, it tracks those language such that the arts and entertainment, multipurpose performing arts and entertainment facility is clearly tied back up to the performing arts facility in the preamble.
Then can you explain, and I'm still not clear from the briefs, what does entertainment entail if not performing arts? I mean, it seems like if the preamble informs, you've got the term performing arts up there, then you add a new term, entertainment. What would entertainment mean other than a redundancy?
I'm going to answer that question in two ways if I can.
Okay.
First of all, in every performing arts facility, you would have other forms of entertainment. So you might have a book reading or a comedian that might not be seen as a traditional performing arts. So, but then the other hand, you could also have a performing arts facility that was, let's say, a dance like something where you go to learn a performing arts. And so the word and entertainment needs to expand that so that the city is aware that what they need to build is something that entertains the public. So it's not a redundant word. If it were just performing arts facility, you could go in and learn ballet, and that would be a performing arts facility. But you need the and entertainment to make sure that you know it's an audience, it's there to entertain the public.
Something in front of an audience.
Yes.
Okay, so the entertainment has to be something in front of an audience.
Right.
Same question, I guess, for the word multipurpose.
Well, if you have an opera house, that would be a single performing art facility. Multipurpose or the Zach Scott Theater here in town, that's traditionally a single. It's a theater. It doesn't host an opera, or it doesn't host a... So the multi-purpose performing arts facility is one that serves several purposes, and it isn't just a single house for a single type of performing art.
I've actually got a friend who's an Olympic ice dancer, and I've had to resist the urge to talk to him about this.
Well, and I want to just follow up, because the beauty of this ordinance is it really sandwiches in this idea that what the voters intended to build was a performing arts center. If you flip the page to the next page, you'll see that if there are excess funds, the city council is authorized to, lots of words here, but they are authorized to acquire, construct, improve, equip, and renovate other performing arts facilities. So you have it in the preamble, you have it in what you can do with excess funds. The word, the phrase performing arts has to tether what this multipurpose and performing arts center is. Otherwise, that has no meaning. It has to be tethered. They could build anything. To give you, we've talked about the tavern example and the casino example. They could build that if their reading of this is as broad as they want it to be, because anything can be entertainment. We concede that. Anything can. Now, I will give you another example. If Austin had passed this same ordinance, and we went and the city decided it was going to build the F1 track with the bond money, and said, "Whoa, performing arts entertainment. We have concerts. We have Taylor Swift out there and Justin Timberlake out there." But no one would argue that that F1 facility is not a performing arts facility. It's just not.
What about a 15,000-seat arena that has concerts? Will that be a performing arts center?
I don't think that it would be a performing arts center under this context and this construct, where the ordinance is clearly tethering what this facility is to the context of performing arts. So,
okay, you have the orchestra come in and play.
Sure, and just to give you an example, my daughter is a proud member of the Lamar Fine Arts Academy. If you brought her in here on Wednesday morning before your argument and had her perform her classical guitar or the choir at Lamar to come in and perform, it would not change what this facility is. This is still a courtroom. So can you hold concerts? Does that make it a performing arts facility? No, just because something can go in there doesn't change the nature of the facility. And Judge Meacham was very careful on this, because she did not want to get down this road. If you read the volume 5 of the reporter's record, it's the motion for entry of judgment, you can see how careful she is on this. She does not want to get into this distinction of, is the Ice Capades a sport or is it a performing arts? What she focused on is the facility that you're going to construct and design. And as long as she focuses on the facility and not what goes into the facility, then she didn't have to wrestle with all these issues. And she was very calculated in her judgment and her findings to make sure that she wasn't going to be, every time there was a new event, that we would be back here talking about whether or not that was performing arts or entertainment or sports or whatever.
How is her judgment consistent with the Barrington case? If you could address Barrington.
Yes. So Barrington, let me get out my cheat sheet here. Is this the railroad crossing case?
Yes.
Okay. So first of all, one thing I wanted to point out about Barrington is these are very broad. Mr. Jefferson keeps talking about our ordinance being generally worded or broadly worded, and it's just not. It's very, very specific. It's not.
Depending on how you read it, whether the preamble cabins the what follows versus the way they read it.
Well, even the phrase that they focus on is a very specific phrase. It's not for drainage purposes or for flooding purposes or, for widening public streets. Those are very broad things that give the city lots of discretion. This is a very specific ordinance. The other thing I would point out about this case is the trial court actually found that the contracts were with the railroad party did eliminate public street crossings. It would eliminate some 16 grade crossings. And that the relocating the railroad, so this is about, they were basically moving the railroad across, and they would change the underpasses and overpasses. So the court found as a matter of fact that what the city was doing comported with the language, and that's exactly what Judge Meacham did here too. She found as a matter of fact that what the city was going to build did not comport with the very specific language of the ordinance. I realize my time is up, and I want to answer any questions without running into my co-counsel's time.
It's okay. What I'm wondering is, if the facility that's being proposed allows for performing arts concerts, and I guess it depends on your definition of performing arts, but if it allows for that, then why wouldn't Barrington suggest that the city could go beyond that as long as it's not inconsistent
with the language of the ordinance?
Well, that's not what Barrington says. That is a test that Mr. Jefferson has made up for this case. That the test for bond cases is the city acting arbitrary, unreasonable, or unlawful? That's what Barrington says. That's what all the Supreme Court. That's what every.
And that's what I'm asking. I'm not trying to use a different test. I'm just saying if they're allowing for performing arts in a facility, is it unlawful, arbitrary, et cetera, to allow a use beyond that that somehow is within the broad language of the ordinance, at least under their argument?
I think it is our position that it is unreasonable to tell the voters that you're going to build a performing arts center and then decide you're going to build a basketball arena or a sports arena. And I think that's arbitrary. It would have been so easy to give the city more discretion. If they wanted to build any facility they wanted to with that $180 million, they could have written the language broader, but they wrote it very specifically. And it is our position that it is arbitrary and it is unreasonable and it is unlawful for you to take bond money for a performing arts facility and decide you're going to build a sports arena.
On the subject of explicit language, well, you don't have any reference to parking in here, restrooms, concessions. I mean, does that mean that it's unauthorized?
Sure, or whether it's a stage or what kind of lighting you put. Yeah. That those would all be within the city's discretion within the fund, right? That's what city's discretion
well,
is.
That kind of begs the question, doesn't it? I mean, it you know, going back to what Judge Field suggested, I mean, if in theory you built a performing arts facility that could accommodate a basketball court, what would be wrong with that?
Well, a performing arts facility it by its nature could not accommodate. I mean, that was Judge Meacham's ruling, right? Is that if you design it, I don't care. She said, I don't care if you play sports there or not, right? She's like, I'm not prohibiting sports. But if you focus on designing and constructing a performing arts facility, you won't be able to play sports. You can't play sports at the Long Center. Now, you might be able to have a ping pong match on stage or something, but the performing arts facility itself would not accommodate the type of sporting events that they're contemplating in El Paso.
Ms. Hobbs, before we lose you, let me ask you, one other aspect of her order is that the city is prohibited or enjoined from spending future funds from other sources outside the bond to later adjust or alter these facilities. Sort of what's the basis for that, and is there a jurisdictional issue there?
I don't think there's a jurisdictional issue. The city amended their debt management plan right after the trial court's oral ruling that said they couldn't build a sports arena. So she rules orally. The next council meeting, they changed their debt management plan to do these quite controversial, actually, certificates of obligation and say, well, we could use this for the 2012 quality of life money. So they authorize themselves to go into debt for improving or enhancing or whatever the 2012 quality of life projects. If you look at the debt management plan, like what they did, it says specifically it has to be those projects that were approved, or it tracks, it refers back to the actual projects they're approving. So it's really not that controversial. It's just they can't do anything. If you affirmed that trial court judgment and said you can't build a sports arena, you have to build the performing arts facility that you promised the voters you were going to build, then there wouldn't be any conflict. That certificate of obligation language ties back to the ordinance itself.
Thank you. Morning, Mr. Westfitch.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. I want to talk a little bit about the four corners, and then I want to talk about why fairness is relevant to interpretation of the ordinance, and then I want to talk about why mandatory bond projects have to be completed before discretionary ones are begun. On the four corners issue, everyone agrees the court text is such projects to include. The word include has only one meaning. It's a plain meaning. It means part of a whole. Thus, benches for the public are included in this courtroom. A library is not included in this courtroom. A library may be adjacent to the courtroom or near the courtroom, but a library is not included in the courtroom. The city's argument, if you look carefully at what they're saying in the briefs, it basically boils down to this. If a statute said, The courtroom shall include benches for the public. The city is arguing that because the statute says benches for the public, that means benches that are in the foyer or by security. It means benches outside the courtroom. That's not what the ordinance does here. Like a sandwich, both in the preamble and the postamble, the ordinance limits the uses to four: library, museum, cultural, and performing arts, period. So those projects include, are part of the whole, part of those. Entertainment is not an independent fifth allowable purpose for the bond funds. That is not what the text of the ordinance says. It is not what includes means. In entertainment, as Ms. Hobbs explained, it has an independent meaning. It has it has a meaning for presentation of performing arts events as opposed to teaching. The city's only response to this is on page 14 of their reply brief. They say, well, that is not the most natural use of the word entertainment. If the city wished to distinguish performing arts classes from presentation of performing arts activities, well, then the city then a more natural way of expressing that exists. But that's not the test. The test isn't whether the city used the most natural language. The city alone chose the ordinance text here. The only point for ordinance interpretation purposes is whether the words "and entertainment" have independent meaning, and they do, just as Ms. Hobbs explained. The word "entertainment" is limited to the presentation of performing arts or similar activities, such as a lecture or a film. That is what the ordinance, the plain text of the ordinance allows, and the word "includes" requires that result.
Then why wouldn't the ordinance just say a multi-purpose performing arts facility then? Why do you even need the word "entertainment"? Why wouldn't that, if it's a multi-purpose performing arts facility, why wouldn't that include the entertainment aspects and the educational aspects?
And I guess, are we implying that performing arts and entertainment are mutually exclusive?
They're not mutually exclusive. In fact, under the city's interpretation,
there's a distinction.
Entertainment would swallow performing arts. The wording is odd. There's no question about that. We didn't write the word. All we're trying to say is that the word "entertainment" has independent meaning. And I understood the question to be, since it says multi-purpose performing arts, why wouldn't that be sufficient? Why would you need the words "and entertainment"? Because a facility could teach dance, and it could teach. It could be a rehearsal space for theater. That would be a multi-purpose performing arts facility. The ordinance, by using the word "and entertainment," also requires that the facility be equipped for presentation to the public of performing arts events. That is a reading of the text that is consistent with the preamble limitation to the four purposes and the postamble limitation to the four purposes. So, it is also possible.
So a multi-purpose performing arts facility wouldn't include the entertainment of the public? That language wouldn't be broad enough to include that?
No, Your Honor. The multi-purpose performing arts could be for the rehearsal of symphonies, and it could be for the teaching of dance. That is a multi-purpose performing arts facility that has nothing to do with entertainment. And so our position is that the four corners of the ordinance are crystal clear, that the $228 million approved by the voters is only allowed to be spent for those four purposes. The city's fallback position to that is, okay, even if the ordinance limits it to those four purposes, then sports is a performing art or sports is cultural. It wants to include, it wants to say that sports is included in those definitions. Sports cannot be cultural, because if that's true, everything is cultural. The text of the ordinance clearly tries to limit the types of the facilities that can be built. If cultural has a definition that the city proposes in its brief, then cultural applies, it would allow the city to build anything imaginable. And on performing arts, there's no dictionary that defines sports as a performing art. The city's own documentation distinguishes sports from performing arts. The city's own witness at record volume 4, page 62, the city's own witness said that sports are not a performing art. It does not fall within the definition. So the city has a third fallback position. And the third fallback position is, okay, even if sports are not performing arts, well, they're practically indistinguishable from performing arts. That sports are practically indistinguishable from performing arts. We're a long way from plain meaning now, but the distinction is between sports and performing arts is I have to be a little bit clearer. I'm trying to go quickly here, but the city's third fallback position is performing arts facilities are practically indistinguishable from sports facilities, and the court has been wrestling with that today. The distinction is the economic justification for the facility. It is true that Ice Capades is a performing art and circuses, and they are often held in sports arenas. But is a city going to build a 15,000 seat arena to present Ice Capades? That would be financially irresponsible, because Ice Capades does not come to any city that frequently. The only way that they could support a 15,000 seat arena is if they intend to hold sports activities there. That practical distinction, that is a practical distinction for why sports arenas are not performing arts centers. If you are designing only for performing arts, there is not enough activities to support a facility of that size that are just performing arts.
So there's some magic line between 15,000 seats and zero, I guess, that would be okay for a, quote, performing arts center.
Yes, Your Honor.
I'm beginning to wonder how in the world does a court figure out what any of this means?
It has to do with the city's intent.
At some point you either punt and say it's ambiguous, or you punt and say this is something that is within the city's discretion.
On the point of ambiguity, if the court finds that text of the ordinance is ambiguous, then the court decides de novo whether the city's interpretation is reasonable. The city does get deference in that, but this court decides, is the city's interpretation reasonable? We have cited authorities showing that fairness is a component of reasonableness. Is it fair for the city to have polled the question of whether the city would support a sports and entertainment arena, and then found that to be a lightning rod, and then then listened to the advice of a sports arena consultant to say that you need to bundle these things and call it something other than sports in order to get to avoid controversy before the voters? Is that a fair way for the city to proceed? We submit that the answer is no, and we urge this court to hold that is unreasonable. Now, the city, we're not asking the court to say that the city of El Paso deceived the voters. It's not necessary for the court to make that kind of holding. What is appropriate is for the court to say that the city's reliance on extrinsic evidence about what it told the voters or what it didn't tell the voters is improper, and that is an improper way to notify the voters. The only way that the voters can be notified of what they are voting on that day is the text of the ordinance, and the city deliberately wrote the text of the ordinance to be vague. That is a sufficient holding for this court to say it is unreasonable and unfair for the city to proceed this way in a bond election. It knew what it wanted, but it did not adequately inform the voters of that by simply having some people who do not speak for the city of El Paso saying in the press some things about sports.
Thank you, Mr. Westfitch. So I understand you've got a little bit of time left on rebuttal when we circle back around, correct?
Thank you, Your Honor. I have to mention at least our argument.
Do you have some rebuttal time?
I do. I have 2 minutes.
Why don't you hold it off for rebuttal?
Yes, please. Yes. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir.
Counsel, please, the court, I have 4 quick points. One of the questions was, how do we know what to do here? Well, I would point you again to Section 1205. The legislature wants to know what the views of the Attorney General are. The Attorney General is a party to every Chapter 1205 proceeding. He's compelled to be there. And if he believes that the city's petition is defective, insufficient, or untrue, or the expenditure of funds would be invalid or unauthorized, he, quote, must object. That's in 1205.063. Here, not only did the Attorney General not object, he endorsed the city's position. At the hearing, 2 times, the Attorney General appeared, was present, and announced the following. I'm going to quote. The Attorney General's view is the multi-purpose performing arts and entertainment facility, as described in the ordinance and in the ballot, is valid if it holds sporting events, but not exclusively sporting events. Basically, the facility is valid if it includes performing arts events and entertainment events, which would include sports. Thank you, Your Honor. That was the Attorney General's position, which the Attorney General reiterated. The Barrington quote. I just want to quote from there to explain why we rely on it so heavily. Barrington is the case that talked about railroad crossings and then the bond funds were used to move tracks elsewhere. The Supreme Court of Texas says, quote, neither the city authorities nor the voters could know with particularity each item for which the proceeds of the bonds would be expended. Evidently, it was for this reason that the proposal was submitted in rather general terms, and approval of the same by the electorate necessarily left to the sound judgment and discretion of the governing body the devising of the project. I think that that applies exactly here. You have the broad terms, you leave it to the city to determine how to expend those funds.
Is there a procedural mechanism earlier that which one could challenge, say, the wording of the ballot?
Yes.
That'd be an election contest?
The election contest,
okay.
Exactly.
And you could get at the underlying ordinance, too, at that time?
That's okay. Right. You can challenge the ordinance, you can challenge the contest. Neither of those occurred here.
Okay.
Counsel said that I was incorrect that our brief was incorrect to say that the expenditure of bond money would be illegal only if prohibited by ordinance or interfered with the purpose in the ordinance. We cited 2 cases for that proposition. I think they can speak for themselves. One is called Zachary, and the other is called City of Beaumont. I think you can find that language. It's not my language. It's the Supreme Court's
language.
Was
there any evidence of the trial court record that we may be missing that supported their position that seems to be that having a sports capacity undermines or makes it not possible to do the performing arts aspects?
No, I don't think so. And I'll give an example that Council mentioned dance. She conceded is a performing arts that could occur here. I would say under the final judgment, it certainly could not occur because dance is also competitive. There are UCC scholastic competitions on dance, professional and high school. Under the final judgment, as you see before you, You can't build a facility that would be suitable for sports. If dance is a sport, you cannot have dance there because dance would be permitted. It would be one of the areas in which the facility could take, that entertainment aspect could take place. And this is my final point. The practical impacts of the decision below should not be overlooked. By prohibiting expenditures on facilities that would be, quote, suitable for a sports arena, Austin courts would be forever mired in answering whether a particular design would facilitate a sport. The dance, as I mentioned, is the stage large enough for a 3x3 basketball tournament? If it is, you can't build it. Or boxing, a boxing ring, or martial arts. Is the ceiling high enough for volleyball or badminton? That's what this court in Austin would be engaged in looking 600 miles away. But second, I think it's even more likely that the challengers want to scuttle any facility on this area, because a massive performing arts venue will always be suitable as a sports arena. I mean, think of wrestling. That can happen in a facility with 15,000 seats. Ping pong, as she mentioned. The dance, fencing. I mean, this is always permissible in a facility this size. So the ultimate goal really is to end this project altogether. But El Paso voters wanted a facility, a flexible facility, multi-purpose, that could indeed have basketball as well as a concert, globetrotters as well as lectures and commencements. So those portions of the trial court's judgment that banned sports as entertainment should be reversed. We have, at the end of our brief of appellants, a roadmap for the relief that we're seeking here, and I will leave that to the court's consideration, but we would ask that the court reverse the trial court's judgment and render judgment in favor of the city.
That's for guidance on one point. Yes. That still kind of sticks with me, and that's the question of to what extent can or should the Travis County Court enjoin suits that may be going on in El Paso that seem to be outside the purview of the validity of the bond spending under 1205. And let me throw an example, and you may tell me it's a bad example, but you threw out the idea of a casino earlier. And so if we got to the point where they were going to build a casino, but yet they had some legal issues, maybe a federal issue with IGRA on whether a casino could be authorized there or not, it seems to be that the full extension of the argument you make is that that could be decided in the expedited situation that we have here in Travis County, as you point out, several hundred miles away. So where do we draw that line?
So I think the answer would be that you could have a proceeding that is in the county where the facility is being brought if it does not involve the expenditure of the bond funds, if that is not at issue. The question I think for the court is, could the proceeding elsewhere, could it have been brought in this proceeding? Because it deals with the actions related to the bond expenditures. And if the answer there is yes, then Section 1205 says it is enjoined. If it could have been brought here, it must be brought here, and it can't be brought anywhere else.
So could the Historical Commission issue, could that have been brought in this case?
The Historical Commission issue could not. Yes, the Antiquities Code. So that's a question, about whether you have to go through the Historical Commission to get improvements for public property and all that. That's separate. And in fact, it is occurring. And we've not challenged anything related to the Historical Commission proceedings. What we did challenge is their attempt to enjoin the city from acquiring land, from engaging in contracts, from beginning the demolition process by obtaining licenses to demolish property that it owns within the Union Plaza area. Those are all related to the bond expenditures. It couldn't happen except for the bond expenditures. Those proceedings would be using bond funds in order to accomplish the building and constructing of this facility. That could have and must have been brought in the 1205 proceeding.
And does that turn upon whether it's a challenge to the validity of the bond process, as opposed to some other outside reason that would keep them from acquiring that property?
The 1205 is expansive. It's the validity, it's the actions of the city in using those bond funds for the purpose that the ordinance sets forth. That is the whole reason for 1205. The whole background for 1205 is it came about because individuals were stopping major municipal projects on grounds that were invalid. And the legislature said, no, we're going to throw into Travis County these disputes. If this kind of dispute comes, the city can come and bring an action in Travis County. You bring all of the placeholders in. It's a proceeding in rem. It's about the property and the bonds. And so anything related to that property, it brings everybody in. It works as a class action. It resolves these disputes once and for all. And once it's done, no other court can challenge the action in the Travis County court. You can appeal, but another court in another venue can't challenge it. It brings everybody together, decides these things once and for all. Otherwise, the economy, the economic advantage to these big capital projects would be gone.
So is the Antiquities case still proceeding in El Paso, and is that not inconsistent with the language in her final order here?
So most of the El Paso proceedings are now moot because, you know, they were brought before the city went to the Texas Historical Commission and engaged in that process. The only thing left in that case now, the Court of Appeals, the Fort Worth, it was El Paso transferred to Fort Worth, and then Fort Worth remanded, and now the only thing is attorney's fees. A parallel proceeding the Texas Historical Commission is engaged in right now. I don't think that this judgment impacts those proceedings, and I don't think the relief that we're requesting from you would stay or in any way inhibit that from going forward.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thanks, sir.
Now, Chief Justice Jefferson had cautioned against miring the courts in many bond expenditure disputes, but that's exactly what would happen if taxpayers were expected to challenge bond language that was proposed prior to its submission to the voters, and guess in about the ways that the city was expecting to expend the money. The taxpayers here had no standing to say that the city was going to try to use $180 million of the bond money to build a sports arena, because the city had not taken an official position on that question. We couldn't have challenged we wouldn't necessarily have had standing to challenge the bond ordinance language prior to its election and prior to the city's disclosure that, yes, it did intend to build a sports arena.
I guess someone could have brought a question as to why the words multipurpose and cultural and entertainment were in there rather than just performing arts.
Hypothetically, it's hard to say. I don't have a response to that, Judge. I do know that any facility can be used for a sports facility. A library could host a wrestling match. A wrestling match could be hosted or a ping pong match could be hosted in this courtroom. The actual use of the facility is not governed by the bond ordinance. The only thing that is governed by the bond ordinance is the purpose for which the facility is constructed. And that is what we contend is limited to library, museum, cultural, and performing arts types of facilities. A facility that accommodates sports is not ideal for performing arts. The acoustics, the sight lines, the physical use of the facility is diminished for purposes of performing arts if it also can host sports events. I need to emphasize one point that the mandatory projects that are listed in the ordinance have to be completed before the discretionary ones are allowed to begin. If that wasn't the law, that is the law under Thayer versus Greer and all the authority that case collects. If that's not the law, issuers can simply promise the moon and then deliver only what they want to deliver to voters. The Thayer Court was very strict, even when it limited economic efficiency, and even when all of the promised bond projects were going to be completed. The Thayer Court said there is no way to reliably draw a line. You must complete all mandatory projects prior to beginning on discretionary ones. In this ordinance, mandatory projects include a Hispanic cultural center, a new Hispanic cultural center. Whether the multipurpose facility is new or renovated, like the Abraham Chavez Theater, that's a discretionary call. And on page 35 of their reply brief, the city admits that that's their discretionary call. They have not completed the Hispanic Cultural Center, therefore they cannot begin the multipurpose facility under Thayer. The city has no response to Thayer or its important rationale.
Well, it seems a little bit at odds with the emphasis you put in the other arguments on the preamble. I mean, the preamble refers to new and existing library, museum, cultural, performing arts. Then you're telling us that for some reason the multipurpose performing arts entertainment facility can't be new if something else isn't built first. And they seem a little bit at odds there.
It's actually the new Hispanic Cultural Center is provided in the text of the ordinance that the voters, the text of the proposition that the voters voted on. That is where it says.
Where?
In our brief, it's in on appendix page 21.
I'm looking at the ordinance right now.
I'm looking at the ballot language that the voters
okay.
saw. It that provides that the Hispanic Cultural Center will be new. There's no text, and the city admits on page 35 of its brief that the multipurpose facility is. It has discretion as to whether to build a new one or to build or to renovate one.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Westridge.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you all for a case well argued. I think I neglected to tell you we're rusty from the summer, but as you may know now, the Third Court audio records our arguments, and so you'll be able to find those online. And with that, the case will be submitted. Parties are excused.